Before I start tonight, I would like to say thank you to all of you for your prayers for Sam's brother. He was involved in a scooter accident. It's been about 2 weeks now. Car pulled out right in front of him. He had no time to stop, hit it, and suffered a number of injuries. And I thank you for your prayers because he's doing very well now, very well. He had a lot of head trauma, stitches removed. There's just a number of things, but he's doing very good. He's actually at work tonight. So we thank you so much, and we continue to offer him a chance to come to church with us, but with his work and everything, he just can't right now. But thank you, and I know that he's very grateful for all the prayers that went out for him. So tonight we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And Paul is going to bring the story of Abraham into his teaching to the Jews. And Paul's going to continue to build on the message that he's been preaching and teaching on you can't work your way into salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ and God's grace. And he's continued to do that in chapter 4 because Abraham, he was looked at by the Jewish community as a man that was righteous by his works. But Paul's going to go through his lesson and show them it wasn't by his works, but it's only through God's grace that he was there. And also, he starts off, if there was anything that Abraham could have gained from the law of Moses, what would that justification be if he could? And he said, even if he could, how could he boast about it? It's only God. So he couldn't do that. And also that Abraham would be the father of all nations, not just one. And then he will go back in verses 9 through 12 and explain that situation. And so, again, we are justified through God's grace. It's a gift of Jesus that justifies us. There's nothing we can do, as we had talked maybe the last lesson, even our faith. We can't even claim our faith. Our faith comes from Jesus Christ and God. That's where the faith comes from. So there's really nothing we can do to work to gain salvation. It's only because of Jesus' sinless life, and he offered himself on the cross for our sins. And so I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. And it says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness, apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, and blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So here, Paul asks a question. What did Abraham gain, if anything, that he could find justification in works of the law? And when he says, when he's saying through the flesh, when he says that, that's talking about the law, keeping the law. And he'll go a little bit further in this, in verses 9 through 12, kind of specifically talking about circumcision. And so, so is he speaking about the works of the law? Does that make a person more, does that give a person more credit if you're circumcised? And Paul's going to address that as, no, it's by faith. And in verse 2, it says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. So again, it's if Abraham had anything to boast about, if he did, he couldn't boast before God. It says then he would have had something to boast about, but of course, not before God. So Paul is asking, what was the basis upon which Abraham was declared righteous before God? And Paul's going to answer that in verse 3. And this says, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now here, that's what he's saying. That's what made him righteous, is that he believed God. And that was a quote from Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. And so I was going to read that tonight, Genesis 15, 1 through 6. The title in my Bible says the Lord's covenant with Abram. And so in chapter 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So here we see that with Abraham, or Abram at the time, when he is given this vision, he's a very patient man from his call from Genesis chapter 12. And that's, God starts off with, I am your power, he shows him that he is the power and the comfort that he needs. When he says, I am your shield, to Abram, that would mean that I am your king, or I am your protector. So you have nothing to fear. I am your protection and your very great reward. That is something that I think about. Abram was a wealthy man. He was a wealthy man, but we'll all see through his life, it was God, his relationship with God was worth more than everything that he had. And I look at that, and that's what I want to be. I want to be a man of faith like Abraham. Things don't look good. That's what he's telling God. I believe you, but I don't know how you're going to do this. And I tell you, there's a lot of times in my life, at least, where I've been at a crossroads, like, I just don't know how this is going to work, or if it can work. And sure enough, you know, maybe a year or two later, it's like, that's why that happened. It's like, this is what I needed. So that, I think that's very important, especially to us in our lives, that God should be our greatest reward. Anything, you can take everything. As long as I have Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. Not in this world. So now, like I said, his faith, he's patient. He's a patient man. and from his call from God back in chapter 12, with his response that he has no children and that one of his servants is going to be his heir of his inheritance if the situation does not change. So he's saying, if things don't change, this is what I see is going to happen. And God, again, is very gracious. He's very patient. We know that he's long-suffering, and God reinforces his promise by telling Abram that he's going to have his very own child. This is going to be of your flesh and blood. And he even goes further to tell him that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. And in verse 6, it's because of that faith that Abraham believed the Lord, that it was credited to him as righteousness. So it's through the faith that he had. And 2 points on that faith, they come from that statement. First, Abraham believed God in what he said. He believed wholeheartedly. Didn't understand how it was going to work, but he believed him. He believed God. And he just didn't simply believe that there is a God, because in James chapter 2, verse 19, it tells us that even the demons believe that there's a God and that they shudder. So just that belief that there is a God, that's not enough. Abram trusted his life to God, and he knew that God would deliver what he promised. And again, that's something that we need to think about. God, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday as he is today and will be tomorrow. So what he promises us in Scripture, we're gonna see it. So Abraham believed God, even though it looked impossible since he did not have a son. I mean, he was 100 years old. Sarah's womb hasn't been working. It's just like, well, I don't know. As a man, this is impossible. But with God, we know all things are possible. And God has a plan. And his plan's going to go. So that's the first one, that Abram, he believed God wholeheartedly in what he said. And second was based upon the faith that God credits him as righteous. Even Abram was not justified by works, but through deep faith in God. And that's what set him apart. He had that great faith in God that he knew, God has promised me this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to do it. And so in verse 5, Paul answers another question. It says, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So here, Paul is answering a question on who is part of God's family. Who's part of God's family? Who receives a pronouncement of being righteous? Who does that? And it's not the one working to keep the law, but it's the one who believes God. As I said earlier, if you're working for something, your wages you're going to get, they were earned. They weren't credited to you. But through the belief, you're going to come in contact with the grace of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. But again, in verse 5, it says, the one who does not work but trusts God and trusts God who justifies the ungodly. Well, that's us. That's us today. That was them then, and that's us today. We are the ungodly. God justifies us through the faithful life and sacrifice of Jesus. That's how we're made justified. That's the only way. We're not righteous, but God is declaring us righteous through his son Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. And this goes all the way back to what God has done for us. There's nothing we could do. This was God's plan. And if it could be, I would say, if it was a hard decision or something to make, because God knows you're going to spit upon my son, you're going to beat him, you're not going to treat him for who he is. But yet, I'm still going to send him down for you. And that's his son, and he knows what's going to happen. And then God's going to have to turn away from him. That's very hard. I mean, God, he gave all. He gave all for us, the ungodly. And it's not us who earn our wages. It's only through God's gift to us. There's no amount of working that gets us out of our ungodly condition. It's only through the working of God. And I'll read verses 6 through 8. It says, David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness, apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, and blessed is the one whose sins the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him by righteousness. So here, really in verses 7 and 8, we're given a definition of what it is to be justified. Our transgressions are forgiven. Our sins are covered. And the Lord will never count our sins against us. And when I was reading that, I remembered something that Brian had said. I don't remember the numbers, but he said, God puts our sins as far away as from the east to the west. And that's what Brian said. It's not north and south, because there is a certain number. But going east to west, like he said, if you were to go around the world just walking east, when you come to California and you just keep walking, you're still going east. God is going to separate. It's going to be a way. It's going to be a way. And again, that's what it is. Our sins are not counted against us. We are acquitted. We are acquitted of our sins rather than found guilty. We're guilty, but God, because of Jesus' blood, we're acquitted, and we're given the status of righteousness rather than the status of the condemned. So we're found not guilty on the basis of Jesus' blood and God's sacrifice for us. It really is beautiful when you think about it, and it had to be so hard. And again, that just reminds me of something Brian had said too. When we think about that, we're ungodly, and all this has been done for us. And yet, we are God's reward. That's incredible. Crackpot like me, and we're God's reward. It's just, that's incredible, that love that he has. And so in verses 9 through 12, it says, is the blessedness only for the circumcised? Or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So the promise of The promise to Abraham was given in Genesis chapter 15. But the seal of circumcision came into effect in Genesis 17. So that came after Abraham was credited as righteous. So Abram was uncircumcised when he was declared righteous by faith. And so circumcision is not the mechanism to be justified. And this is Paul's point, and that's what he's been just, I wouldn't say hammering, but explaining to the people. The work is not how you get justified. So this makes Abraham the father of the circumcised and the uncircumcised. And that's what's incredible. It's not just, and like he had said in the promise, he's going to be the father of all nations, not just one. And so as we close tonight, Paul is still calling through the word of God that all of us walk in a life of faith, that we all walk in a life of faith, and to have the faith that God will deliver what he has promised, even when to man it looks impossible. So tonight we invite you, if you have not come in contact with God's grace, we can help you. We can help you tonight to do that. And it's not that hard when you go through the scriptures and see how do you come into that contact. It's like first you have to hear. In Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So you have to hear. And then what you hear, you have to believe. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So again, you have to have that faith. And then repent. Luke 13, verse 3, it says, but unless you repent, you will all perish. And that's, you got to turn away from your life of sin. A 180, not a 360. And then you have to confess. In Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And then you're baptized. Acts 2:38. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you just continue on faithfully. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And so this evening, like we had said, God cannot go back on a promise. And if you are in Christ, or you're not in Christ and you want to be in Christ he promises us the redemption, the justification, and to be with him in eternity forever. He promises that eternal life with him. And so that's, you have to have that faith and believe that. So this evening, as we stand and sing the invitation song that Brian's going to lead, if there's any way or anything that we can do for you, please come forward at that time. Or if you're not comfortable coming forward after the service, you can come to me or to Brian and just let us know. So thank you.
Well, let's stand. We'll sing hymn number 916.